Want to wish you a happy new year before it arrives on Thursday. Hope you have a great one. You notice that coming into this year, there's something true about us constantly. We are governed by time. We live in a world that's controlled by time, and it's difficult for us to understand eternity and a time and a place when time will not matter. And I have a lot of issues or a lot of questions regarding exactly how that's going to be, and I don't have good answers for them. But we struggle with time in our world, but our time-controlled world that we live in should teach us something, because the Bible points it out to us all the time. We are moving away from something as we are about to leave 2014 and all the years that have gone before, and we are moving towards something. And we don't like to face sometimes what we're moving toward. We do sometimes when we have anticipation for a certain year or a certain event that we're looking forward to, and we want to arrive at that event. And then when it comes, we want time to slow down and we want it to stop. We don't want to go any further because we don't want to think about where we're going. And the Bible lets it be known, and all of life lets it be known. We're heading toward death, and eventually we're heading toward eternity. And we will face God in eternity. One of the problems with all of us is we often forget to hold precious the moment that we're in. We wish for it to hurry and be done, or we wish to go back to something else. And we fail to hold precious the moment that we have in time. And it's exactly where Jesus wants us to be and wants us to live. I want to look at two verses with us tonight. And I want to start in the book of Matthew chapter 26. And I want us to read together verses 25 through 34. What Jesus emphasizes in these verses is this: I'm to live in my present time and my present circumstance for the kingdom of God. Not for myself, but for the kingdom of God. And we have a hard time with that. What this lesson is really going to be about, as we tie this passage with Proverbs, is that what God really wants us to do is to take control of the way that we think and to take control of our thinking. I have a hard time with that. My greatest battle is with my thoughts, and my greatest battle is with the way I think about things. And sometimes my thinking is based on my feelings or my reaction, and not at all based on what is the truth in the matter or the reality of a matter, nor what God would have me to do. I want to tell you a story, and I want you to just take it from the standpoint of the lesson and just take it in that way. Kathy had some problems when we lived in Gadsden, and those problems were caused from a lot of different things going on in our life at the time. And I won't mention all those things and what they were. But all those things that were going on in our life put a tremendous amount of stress on her. And she started having some physical problems. And when she went to the doctor to try to get to the heart of what was going on, they couldn't find anything. And so they suggested that she talked to a psychiatrist to see about what was going on. And I don't mind telling you now, but when they suggested that, she got mad. And she said to me, she didn't say it to everybody else, but to me, she said, if that's all it is, I know how to handle that. And wasn't that she was trying to make herself out to be something better than everybody else, but she was mad now at herself. And being mad at herself, she took some actions and eventually the problems went away. But here's what she did. First of all, we changed some things that were going on. We took control of some things to take some pressure off of her. And secondly, she changed the way she thought about them. She started evaluating her own thinking and the way she was thinking about things, and she made some changes in the way she thought about things. She took hold of her thoughts and identified the lies and looked closely at what was right and closely at what was true. And if you pay attention to these passages, in the book of Matthew chapter 6, and the one we're going to look at in Proverbs, and so many other passages in the Bible, that's exactly what God is trying to tell us to do. He's trying to tell us, guard the way you think. Look carefully at the way you think. Because out of your thoughts are the whole issue of your life. Everything about your life is controlled by the way you think. And so you guard that. And that's a constant process. It's not something you can say, okay, I'm going to do that. I get it done this year and I'll be done with it. No. Paul says every day I get up, it's another day to challenge the way I'm thinking. Every day I get up, it's another day to look at the way I'm thinking about things and bring my thoughts into the line of what God would have me to think. And that's a never-ending process. When we get into problems is when we stop doing it. We stop challenging our thoughts and we think that they're always correct. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 25. You know this passage, and so many times as we do so many things in the Sermon on the Mount, we'll read these verses and we'll say, that's not practical. That's just not any way to live. And we dismiss what Jesus is telling us to do. How Jesus tells us his disciples will live and how they will think. The idea of turning the other cheek when you're slapped on one, that doesn't work in real life, we say. And all the different things that Jesus will talk about here. And we have to look carefully at the total teachings of the Word of God to see exactly what Jesus has in mind. For instance, the turning the other cheek, Jesus never did that. He challenged the ones who hit him. And he challenged them as to why they were doing it. But he never retaliated by hitting them back. The Apostle Paul challenged the ones who were hitting him. And he challenged them with why they were doing it. But he never retaliated against them. And that's the idea that Jesus has in mind. But look at these verses and look at the thinking. Verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life. Now how often do we do that? How much do we allow the stress of life to impact our thinking and to control it? To the point we get to where we would say, well, no, we're never worried about anything because I don't worry, but yeah, I'm concerned about this. And so concerned about it, as a matter of fact, it dominates my thinking. And so concerned about it, as a matter of fact, that in its dominating my thinking, it has diminished my trust in God taking care of it. It has diminished my trust in God taking care of me. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried, thought process, about your life. In particular, do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and is not the body more than the clothes that you wear? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life or a single inch to his height? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil and they do not spin. They don't grow cotton and they don't put it into thread, and they don't create spools. That's what the idea is. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, then how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows what you those that you need all of these things. Now I want you to hold on to these last two verses, because we're going to come back to them on the screen at the end of the lesson. And here's what they say. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So what does Jesus want? He wants me to live in the moment for the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't want me to live in the moment for myself. He doesn't want me to live in the moment necessarily for what others want. He wants me to live in the moment for the kingdom of heaven. And that's a vastly different way to think about things. The kingdom of heaven, firmly believing that God is in control, firmly believing that God loves me, firmly believing that God cares for me, firmly believing God's promise that he will be with me and he will help me. I've done a sermon before on the time before the New Year's, and it comes out of the story of Moses at the burning bush. And it's the story I heard the first day I was in school at David Lipscomb College from the president that was there. And as we started that school year, he wanted us to remember the story of Moses at the burning bush. And he said there are three lessons in it. If you take the burning bush as something new, never been there before, never seen this before, something brand new in my life, never experienced this before, and we're about to enter into a school year, we're about to enter into a new year that we've never been to before, never been there at all, this is something brand new to us this year, 2015. Just like every new second, every new day. And then he said, the three lessons Moses learned or had to learn from the burning bush were this. That applies to every new thing we face. God's already there. God has something he wants you to do, and God will help you do it. And those are the three lessons for every new thing we go into. And God wants us not to be robbed of his presence and his power over us by allowing our thinking to be so focused on the stress of this world. We let it rob us of our trust in him. Proverbs chapter 4, 20 through 27. A father talking to his young son who's about to become an adult. A father talking to his son who is about to become responsible for everything that he does in life. The entire book is written in this way and is written with this father talking to his son. We'll read it as if Jesus is talking to all of us who are his followers. We'll read it as if God is talking to us, all of his children. And we need to read the whole book, but we're just going to isolate on just a few verses, and they are in Proverbs chapter 4, starting with verse 20, and we read down through verse 27. Heading into the key of all the verses, which is verse 23. Guard your heart. To guard your heart does not mean to guard the thing that pumps blood into your body. The heart was the center of the thoughts. The heart was the mind. So when the passage says guard your hearts, it's actually and literally saying guard the way you think. Guard how you think. And guard what you think about. Guard your thoughts and your mind. Can we control that? Well, yes. And we do it by exercising. And we do it by making ourselves. And we get a little better with it and a little stronger with it every day. But we'll never become supermen or superwomen. But we work on it and get stronger every day that we live. So we're not there. We're not going to be there. Until we're just like Jesus. But it's something that we work on every day of our life and every year of our life. So let's read down to verse 23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. How do I control my thoughts? By making sure I stay in the Word of God. By making sure that I give attention to what God has said. And I don't let what he has said move away from me. That's what I must be doing in order to guard this heart. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Know what he says. Focus on it. Don't let it be something that just comes every now and then, but let it be the words that are so filled in your heart, so much in your heart, that you can call them to mind, and you do call them to mind on an everyday basis. Here's this: for they are life to those who find them, and health to their body. The Word of God is your life. It's got to be the thing that controls your mind. The Word of God is health to your body. It's got to be the thing that's in your thoughts. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Far from it flow the springs of life. Everything about your life, every relationship that you're in, every aspect about your life, even your physical health, is controlled by the way you allow yourself to think. And this is why the thought process must be so closely guarded. And it's the thing that we need to think about every time we think about getting up in the morning. Every day that we live, we need to bring our thought process under control. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Don't tell yourself anything but the truth. Identify the lies that you tell yourself, and for certain, identify the lies that you're telling other people. Tell the truth to yourself and to others. Let it come out of your thought process. Let your eyes look directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. On what? On God and His will. On what God wants. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. How do I guard my heart? There's some other things that are said to us in the New Testament that are also important that fit into this verse. You guard it with watchful prayer, which is what Jesus told the apostles on the night that he was betrayed. Watch, pray. Be watchful and prayerful so that you can guard your heart against what's going to happen this night. They didn't do it. They didn't guard their heart. They didn't guard their thoughts. And they ran away from him just as he said they would, because they weren't watching prayerfully and guarding the heart. Guard what you feed it. Verse 20 and 22, we're to feed it the Word of God. God, guard what you're putting into your thought process. Guard what you're thinking about. Guard what you consider to be worthy of thought. Guard what you consider to be true. Guard your heart by guarding what you feed it. Guard what you allow to stay in it. The book of Philippians chapter 4 verses 4 through 9. Joy is to stay in it. Peace is to stay in it. Faithfulness to God is to stay in it. It is to be the things that reside in the heart, that are not occasional visitors, but they reside there. In Ephesians chapter 4, 31 through 32, there are some things that are not to be there. Bitterness, anger, wrath, or the way that we think about others negatively, the way that we talk about others negatively. Those things are not to be there. Those things are to be put away, and they are to be done away with. And we are to guard what fills it. We are to guard what fills our heart. Luke 6:45, Jesus says, "The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what's good." Out of your heart, the words are going to come. Out of your heart, the deeds are going to come. And the good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. So we guard what fills it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul admonishes us, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be filled with alcohol. Be filled with the Spirit. And we are to guard what we fill that heart with, what we fill that mind with, what it's all about. Matthew 6:33, back to the passage. Remember, Jesus here says, don't worry about all these things, but you seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of heaven? How can I know that I'm doing that if I don't know what it means? But what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of heaven? And the kingdom of heaven, what is it? Well, let's kind of expand on the verse. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek his kingdom first and seek what is right, which means seeking God's commandments and God's instructions. We can put that another way and we can say it a different way, and it would say something like this. Seek his rule and his control in life's every moment. How can I seek the kingdom of God in the moment in which I am in? By seeking his rule and his control. When I seek his rule and his control in life's every moment, I am seeking the kingdom of heaven first in life's every moment, in the moment in which I am living. We could say it a third way. Say it a third way, it would be this. In every moment, seek his will and his way. That's what it means to seek first the kingdom of heaven. And it begins with the mind. It begins with how we think. And what we think and how we think is something under our control. But what we fill our mind with, what we allow to stay there, what we feed it, and all of those different things are there. This is not pie in the sky. This is not impossible living. This is kingdom of heaven living. And it's something that we need to work on every day. I know I do. Probably more than anybody else. I need to work on doing a better job of controlling my thoughts. And all of us need to work on it. I would like to get to the point where I control them just as they begin to occur, rather than believing them for a while and then realizing the problems that I've caused myself because I've listened to them and then regretting them and apologizing for them. I'd like to stop them before they get started. And I've got a ways to go until I get to that point. But that's what I'm going to work on 2015. What I'm going to work on the rest of today. And I hope you'll join me as we live the life God wants us to live by thinking about our thoughts and bringing them under control. Are you in Christ? Are you developing his mind? Are you allowing him to live in you? Are you allowing your mind to be controlled by him and by his will and what he desires for us? If you need to be immersed into Christ this evening, if you need to come home to him, we'll invite you to come as together we stand and as we sing.
He took my burdens all away up to a brighter day. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. A wonderful song I now can sing. In my heart joy bells ring. He gave me a song. Oh.